You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I'm a little fired up here this morning. Welcome, folks. Welcome here on the 23rd of August, 2018. Lord's not making another one. And, boy, got a lot of stuff rumbling through me today. Happy to be here. It is chilly here in Ohio. It's like 54 degrees or something. Like, my, I slept with the windows open. Had to do some very serious snuggling last night because the windows were open. And what's the temperature here today? 52 degrees. 52 degrees. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep and all involved with that. Let me get a couple things off my chest. Number one, you probably don't care what I'm going to talk. Urban Meyer, Ohio State football coach, was given a 3-game suspension last night after 2 weeks of investigation. 10,000 is amazing. All the stuff they said. 3 years, a 3-game suspension for no violation. I want you to hear what I said. When you read the report, he violated no policy. Say it again. He violated no policy. Urban Meyer, if you remember, his assistant coach, he was accused of physical abuse against his wife. Yada, yada, yada. Long story. Police went there a number of times. He was never charged. Nobody's ever charged. Urban Meyer reports it to his superior. Superior doesn't do anything about it because the police haven't charged. Nothing's ever done. The report comes out. All this time, all this effort, all this energy, and Urban Meyer did nothing wrong. Now, I'm not here to defend. This isn't about Urban Meyer. Hear me a second. It's not about Urban Meyer. It's about that Jezebel spirit alive and well in America. And the only reason that they disciplined Urban Meyer with a 3-game suspension is because those doctors who are in universities who don't do anything except live in that university bubble are only concerned about the way that it looks. See, there's no justice in America anymore. And Urban Meyer read a statement last night at a press conference. He read a statement, and I could hear his voice the whole time through it. It's like they had a gun to the back of his head. Read this statement. Say you agree with us. Say we're all great people and say how wonderful women are. And he did that, and then basically he shut up. Folks, listen, we are going to have to begin. I'm talking to men. We're going to have to stand up, and we're going to have to begin to push back against this stuff, okay? I'm not, as I said before, I'm not for beating women. I'm not for beating women. But I'm going to tell you this. We're either equal or we're not equal. Society is going to have to determine. And as I said before, sticks and stones can break my bones. If a woman has a right to verbally abuse a man, does a man have a right to respond? If they want, are women and men equal or not? Huh? Are we equal or not? We can have it both ways. But see, subtly, we don't understand what's going on in our culture and our society. And it's all about a destruction of a God-ordained institution of marriage, family. Was Zach Smith's behavior with his wife private or not? Is it private behavior or not? And now do we want the government, do we want our employees getting involved with disciplining people for personal behavior? So you can have a fight with your wife and that now your employer has to be involved with that, but you can go out and you can fornicate with anybody and your employer not be able to say anything about that. You can be a man who dresses like a woman and goes to pride parades, and your employer can't do anything at all about that. But if somebody has an argument with their wife, now all of a sudden the employer is supposed to come creeping into your family. You guys see the danger of it? Maybe it's just me. You don't see the danger of it. And I don't care whether Urban Meyer got fired or not. I don't even want to care. I don't even care about that. But I am so sick and tired of the double standard against men in our society and in our culture. And you know what the problem is? There ain't no Christianity. There ain't no Christian standard. We don't teach Christianity. We don't teach Christian standard. We don't teach husbands love your wives, wives love your husbands. We don't teach that anywhere in our culture anymore. And as a result of it, we get these eggheads who do a 2-week investigation. Folks, listen to me. If Urban Meyer had done something wrong, he would be unemployed today. Urban Meyer did nothing wrong, and he gets a 3-game suspension. Now, why does he get a 3-game suspension? Because to all those academics, they have to do something. They have to do something, even though he didn't do anything wrong. Do you see them? Do you guys have any conception of the mess that we are in our society? Do you have any conception of what? I know you don't want to talk about politics, but I do for a minute. This whole thing that's going on with Trump and Manafort, and do you know that Lanny Davis, what a despicable human being he is. Do you know that Lanny Davis went on TV yesterday and admitted that this Cohen has no proof of what he pled guilty to? Lanny Davis said that Cohen pled guilty to something, thereby implicating President Trump, and has no proof of it. Did you know that Cohen pled guilty to something that isn't even a crime? Did you know? Can you guys see can you see the comparison between what's going on with Urban Meyer and what's going on with Donald Trump? Can you see that? And can you not understand? Do we not have the eyes to see? And can you see how stupidly the church falls in with the party line? That the church has become nothing more than an arm of government. Whatever government says, the church follows. Whatever the popular flow of culture says, the church follows. Can you guys see that? Do you understand?
Hey, Coach.
Okay. I'm calming down a minute. Go ahead.
Amen.
Coach, I heard Dave Janda use my exact terms yesterday. He said the words propaganda arm. That's what the MSM is. They're the propaganda. I also want to mention collusion. Have you noticed that the deplatforming of Alex Jones is the actual textbook version of collusion that they're blaming on Trump?
Absolutely. Well, isn't what Saul Alinsky always said, accuse them of doing what you do? I'm sorry. I'm heading somewhere today, okay? I'm heading somewhere. Stay with me. Now, for those of you who want to do an exhaustive Bible study, this may not be for you today, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. This is so deep and so important that if you can come off your holy high horse and let us delve into politics a little bit, I'm going to open your eyes to something. If you want to do that, if not, that's okay too. But I'm going to tell you something. Oh, Lord, do I have to say that? Okay. Delving into the political atmosphere of America is as important as any other Christian endeavor you will ever do. It's just as important as feeding the poor. It's just as important as helping to restore families. It's just as important as you cannot do anything in Christianity more importantly than trying to impact the culture politically. And the lie that they've told us is that Christians have no business in politics. It's dirty business. Christians need to withdraw from it and look around at the stinking mess we have. And you can go today. I got a call from somebody yesterday. I'm not going to mention. It was a good call. I'm not mad, not angry. Got an email. Somebody trying to wake up the pastors. We need to wake up the pastors. Hey, dude, they don't want to be awakened. They don't want to be awake. They're happy. They're content. You can tell them that don't mix religion and politics. You can tell them that, and they go in their back room and they go, yes, I'm off the hook. Yes, I don't have to talk about anything controversial. I'll just talk about Jesus and your relationship with Jesus, and everybody will be happy. And why can't we all just get along and let's just love each other? And I'll sleep well at night. We bought into it.
Come on.
Politics folks. Politics is the playground of the gospel. It is the playground of the gospel. It is the central focus of the gospel. And they've told us that we have nothing to do with it. That's why we're in this stinking mess. Our politics are full of ungodliness. Why? Because there's no Christ in it. No Christian involved in it. No one standing up and saying, thus saith the Lord. Because why? Because a Christian like me could never get the vote of Christians. Because Christians have been taught I'm harsh and I push back and I'm not sweet and I'm not kind and I don't love. And as a result, they're coming in and they're molesting our children and they're teaching our kids in kindergarten about homosexuality, all of it. Why? Because the church has retreated. We're the salt of the church. We're the salt of, we never get out of the salt shaker. Oh, I'm feeling this morning.
Hey, Coach. Yeah.
George.
Coach, that's a great point because, you know, Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom. Well, the kingdom is all about a righteous government with Jesus Christ as the head. You're right on.
Let me help you out here a second. Do you know why Jesus didn't get involved with politics? By the way, yes, he did. He got involved with the politics of the church. You understand this? His authority was in the church. His authority was not outside the church. He didn't go out and pick fights with the Romans because his fight was with the church. He was not politically correct in the church. He ignored the Romans, not because he didn't think it was important for us to be involved with government. His fight was not with the government. His fight was with the church government.
Amen.
That's exactly that. Who persecuted them, the Romans or the church?
Wait a minute. We know, right? We know. And who did Jesus constantly get in trouble with? The political church. That's who he can't. Oh, my goodness. Why can't we see this? And so I feel my frustration level gets so high when I get a call like I got yesterday from people who so much want to wake up the church. Oh, my heart goes out because I want to wake up the church, too. But I'm going to tell you, boys, they don't want to be awakened. We have the most, Christianity has the most pathetic leadership in the history of Christianity right now in America. The absolute worst. We have no Christian man in a position of authority. You name him, Franklin Graham. You tell me Franklin Graham, God bless him. I couldn't hold his fork. I understand from a ministry standpoint, I couldn't hold his fork. I'm telling you, Franklin Graham himself could end abortion if he drove the church to end it. John MacArthur, Joel, you name it. We have the most sissified. Yeah.
Why did Pontius Pilate kill Jesus? Because the church came up to him and told him to do it.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
The church had influence in government.
He hadn't done anything wrong, Pontius Pilate. I'm washing my hands of it. This guy ain't done nothing wrong. Urban Meyer ain't done nothing wrong. 3-game suspension. What for? I don't know, but we don't want the women to complain. That's basically it. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, Dave, I wish I could say things are going to get better.
Yeah.
Christ has already set the example for us. He received persecution from within his own circle. He was betrayed within his own circle. And then the church persecuted him. And that's exactly what's going to happen again.
Well, Coach, I'll go back.
He's going to persecute us again.
Coach, I'll go back to the early 1730s and 40s, brother. What brought forth the revolution in our nation was the revelation that was brought forth. As this revelation goes forward, brother, we're going to have a revolution because that's exactly what is happening. We are seeing people taking serious sides on this issue. And it is the reason why we left England. It was the freedom of the religion where the government controlled the religion in England. And we're seeing the same thing in America. The government is controlling religion and they are on this. They are the same blood, brother. They are doing each other's dirty work.
Brother, listen. I'm so frustrated this morning. It's good frustrated because good
hey,
frustrated.
Coach, this was. I want to go back to something that happened when just before the election, Trump met with a large group of pastors in New York, some of the top leaders in the evangelical church, and he talked about removing that. What's that law that prevented pastors from talking about politics in church?
Johnson Amendment, and it's not even
the Johnson Amendment. Okay, but they when he said that, nobody applauded. They just sat there, and I remember hearing Rick Wiles say, because he was in the audience, he wanted to get up and applaud, but everybody just sat there.
They don't want to mess
and
with
Trump.
It.
I think he it was his opinion that Trump. Trump said it twice, and there was no response.
Right.
So that's just an example.
Well, Trump said to him, what are you guys afraid of? He asked him, what are you afraid of? Now, hey, guys, somebody help me out here. I'm not going to tell me, give me the name right now of a national pastor leading the fight in the cultural war. Name one. I'm going to wait here a minute. Give me a name.
Crickets.
Good, Vince.
Crickets.
Give me a name. Give me a famous. Come on, right now. Let's do this. Give me the name of a famous pastor, and let's evaluate whether he's being salt to the culture. Go ahead.
Joel Osteen.
Matt Truella.
Matt Truella. Okay, I got that one. I got that one. There's one. Give me that. Come on, somebody give me one.
How about Jason Storms, Rusty Thomas, Dave Dobermeier?
I'm talking about big names, Dale. Stop that. Rodney Howard Brown. I would agree with that one. Rodney Howard Brown. I'll put him up there. Yet, in all fairness to Rodney Howard Brown, has he called his congregation in Tampa, Florida to end abortion? No, he hasn't. You know, he hasn't. Wrote a fabulous book. Rodney Howard Brown. Okay, I'll put it. Come on, give me another one. Give me one that you're going to see on Fox News tonight, calling for an uprising in America to end abortion and reclaim marriage. Give me one now. I'm waiting. I got my pen right here. I want to write the name down here.
There is none.
Crickets.
Save your ink and paper, Coach. It ain't going to happen.
Well, why?
Sounds of crickets.
Why?
Because we are a sissified.
Too much money in it. Too much money in it.
Too much money in it, baby. Too much money. Okay, so now that I got you all fired up, I'm going to try to calm you back down here. Because here's what I'm seeing. There's a rumbling going on, and most of us don't get it. There is a rumbling going on, and we are in the midst of a movement that is starving for leadership. And you know what our problem is, fellas? We're sitting around waiting for our leaders to lead, and dudes, they ain't going to do it. They are leaders, but they ain't leading. They're Isaiah 56. Israel's watchmen are blind. They're all dumb dogs, afraid to bark. That is the American Christian leadership. Hang on. National leadership. And if you don't understand, I don't care. Let me throw this name out there. Salem Radio. I hope you're listening, Salem Radio. I tried to buy time on our local AM 880 Christian radio station here in town. I tried to buy time and they will not sell it to me. Now, they'll sell advertising about vitamins and visiting the chiropractor and a thousand other things, but they won't sell me the time to get on there and do that. They won't. Why? Because you know why? Because I'm going to offend those pastors. They know where their bread's buttered, and then we'll have pastor appreciation breakfasts. Somebody know what I'm talking about? And bring all these pastors together, and they're all coming there, and they'll eat eggs, and they'll eat some hash browns in the morning, and somebody will get them up there and give them an inspirational message, and not a word will be mentioned about the unborn, not a word will be mentioned about the pedophile movement, not a word will be mentioned about the ungodly, unrighteous government, not a word.
But I guarantee you every sterno above those plates will be empty, Coach.
Say that again.
I guarantee you every sterno above the plates that they get for breakfast will be empty. They'll make sure that it goes.
Yeah, well, You guys getting my point? You getting my point?
Pathetic.
So listen, it's worse than pathetic. It's worse than pathetic. I got two grandbabies coming. I said to Michelle again yesterday, she said, boy, that program yesterday was kind of harsh and talking about the government. Hey, folks, it's the enemy. The devil owns the government. Can homosexuality, who put homosexuality in our schools? The government. Transgender, who put transgender, who put this stuff in our schools? The government. Who has taxed us so much that the husband and wife both have to work, and so the kids have to go into daycare? Who did that to us? The government. Who's censored Christianity out of the minds of our children, took it out of the schools, took it, the government? I can go on and on and on and on and on and on to the point where not only has the government done that, but the church has approved of them doing it. I'm in Psalm 2, and we'll make a connection today. I don't know about you. I am not going to continue to live quietly in peace, only to look at my grandchildren 25 years from now and tell them I love myself and I love my stuff too much to fight back when it mattered most. When I'm laying on my deathbed, whenever that would be, to look back over my life and realize what Solomon said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. What a waste of life if I don't pass on the kingdom of God to my grandchildren. I have lived a fruitless, fake life. I believe that. Hey, does anybody know where George Washington is today? I do. Dead. Does anybody know where Tom Jefferson is today? Yeah, I do. Dead. Does anybody know where John F. Kennedy is today? Yeah, I know where he is. Dead. Does anybody know where Martin Luther is today? Yeah, I know where he is. Dead. See, you only got so much time to do something. Only got so much time. And I'm going to tell you, at the end of your life, you ain't worried about your money. You're not worried about whether people are impressed by you. You're not worried about how many books you got published. You know, how many articles you wrote together. Ain't none of that matters. The only thing that matters is what have you left behind you that is going to advance the kingdom of God. We don't even think like this anymore. Why do the heathen rage? The people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Now, just what would that, if you were going to write a book to do that, what we just read, if you were one of the kings of the earth, and you were one of the rulers, and you decided to take counsel together against the Lord, what would that look like? I'd love to ask that to about 100,000 pastors in America. Let them explain that to me. But see, they wouldn't explain it to me. Here's what they would tell me. Well, Brother Dave, it's just the way God's planned it to be. It's just going to get worse, and we're going to get out of here soon. What a stinking, selfish, cowardly mentality that is. Hey, dude, if going to heaven is so pleasant, go get yourself killed. Go get yourself martyred. If that's the thing that you're looking forward to, going to be with your Lord, hey, just go out there and stand out on the streets and begin to speak against the government. See, somebody said, you'll find out who's in control when you find out who you can speak against. When you find out who you can speak against, then you know who's really in control. You want to go stand out on the street corner and speak against the IRS? No, you ain't going to do that. No. You going to go out and stand on the street corner and speak out against the public schools? Oh, no. Now, you're going to go stand outside. How about this? You're going to go outside a church and speak against the church leadership? No. Not unless you want an early martyrdom, you know. But I thought you were anxious about going to heaven. I thought you wanted to go to heaven. Well, dude, you can go early. You can go right now. You can go do it right now. Go stand up for the Lord publicly and you'd be on your way to some martyrdom. Anybody disagree with that? Am I making you nervous? It baffles me. What would it look like if they were to conspire together against the Lord and his anointing? Jared, go to Ephesians 6 real quick.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Hey, for all my rapture brethren, let's look at this real quick. You know, the argument is, hey, when things get bad enough, Jesus will come and take us out of here. That's kind of the premise, right? Here's something to think about. In the history of man, say 6,000 years, we've never had homosexual marriage legislated from the bench. Ever. That has happened. You look at that Rick and Morty deal last night.
Is unbelievable.
How much worse can it get?
That is unbelievable.
That's my question, Coach. How much worse? Unbelievable.
Hey, George, I think we got pastors praying it'll get worse because that means we're about out of here. I say, hey, dude, stand up against it and you'll be out of here now anyway.
Well, hey, Coach, is a better question. These pastors are ushering on all kinds of bad behavior, thinking that the rapture is going to come. Do they think they're going anyplace?
No, they're cowards, man. Jared, Ephesians 6. I said 5. 6. Yeah, I got it. 10. Verse 10. Finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Why do you have to be strong in the Lord? Why do you have to be strong in the Lord? I know why. Because there are some guys conspiring against the Lord and his anointing. Huh? Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What would that look like? What are the wiles of the devil? And are the wiles of the devil just against little old you? You mean to tell me, Satan, the chief cherub, you mean to tell me he's focused on you? He got up in the morning and says, how can I make George miserable today? You think you're that important to the devil? You're smarter than that. See, the devil's not all-knowing. He's not omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere. The devil ain't that way. He's a created being. He can only be at one place at one time. So those of you who say, oh, it's just the devil, wake up, dude. You ain't that important. Most of it is your own selfish, human, fleshly desires that has got you in trouble, or the stuff here we're wrestling against, the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Are you connected? Is anybody connected in Psalm 2 to this other than me? Anybody at all? Psalm 2? Huh? Why do the heathen rage and big people imagine a vain thing? Why? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. For what? To not let that crap go on. Pulling down the strongholds. Huh? Isn't that what it says? Huh? Against spiritual wickedness in high places? Pulling down, what does it say that? Pulling down strongholds and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? That's somewhere in here, isn't it? Huh? I think so. I mean, it may be a different verse. Pulling down strongholds. What? Yeah, casting down imaginations. Pulling down strongholds. What are imaginations? Laws that aren't laws. Truths that aren't truths. Born that way. Can't change. Baby's not a real person. Those are imaginations. Casting down imaginations. There it is. Thank you, Jared. It's 2 Corinthians. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down lies, imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What? Ugh! We're not casting down imagination. Our churches are full of imagination. They're full of them. Jared, thank you, Lord. Webster is 1828. And Jared, I don't even know what I'm looking for here. Imagination comes from image, I think. I think it comes from a thought that creates a vision in our mind. Imagine, image, nation. Imagination. 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 What, Jared? The power of the faculty of the mind by which it conceives and forms ideas of things communicated to it by the organs of sense. Imagination, I understand to be the representation of an individual thought. Our simple apprehension of corporeal objects. Imagination in its proper sense signifies a lively conception of the objects of sight. It is distinguished from conception as apart from a whole. The business of conception is to present us with an exact transcript of what we have felt or perceived. But we have also a power of modifying our conceptions by combining the parts of the different ones so that as to form the new wholes of our own creation. I shall employ the word imagination to express the power. I apprehend this to be the proper sense of the world. If imagination be the power which gives birth to the productions of the poet and the printer, we would define imagination to be the will working on the materials of memory. Not satisfied with following the order prescribed by nature. No, we don't want to think man, woman for life. No. We don't want to go there. We want to let our imaginations take us to other parts of different conceptions or objects of memory to form a whole more pleasing, more terrible, or more awful than have ever been presented in the ordinary concept course of nature. Wow. Conception, image in the mind, idea. Wow. Contrivance, scheme, formed in the mind, device, conceit, and unsought. You won't learn this in your church, will you? Huh? Your pastor ain't going to touch this. And so we have to cast down imaginations such as you're born gay. That's an imagination. We got to cast that down. We got to cast that down. We got to cast down the imagination that you can't quit smoking. You got to cast that down. That's crazy. That's a freaking lie. We got to cast down imaginations that's saying that you can continue to be in fornication and be a Christian. We got to cast that down. I was playing golf last night in my golf league. I told you it's pirate golf league. And I'm wearing my Jesus hat. I wear all my Jesus garb when I play golf amongst all these guys. And, a guy came up to me and said, hey, where can I get that hat? Where can I get a hat like that? I had on my Jesus visor. Where can I get a hat like that? And I said, oh, I got him. I'll get you one. He said, oh, listen. He said, I'd like to wear one of those. He says, you may not believe this. As he's smoking, I'm not making this up, smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer, and blowing dope. You say, what, coach, you play golf with those guys? Yeah, I do. I do play golf with those guys. Yeah, I try to be light into a dark world. You know, he said to me, you may not believe this, coach, but I'm a very deeply religious man. Back when I was a young child, I used to go to Bible schools. Every summer I went to Bible schools. And see, that's an imagination. He thinks he's a Christian. I'm going to cast down those imaginations. See, folks, you have to cast down the imagination that tells you that you ought to have to pay $40 to drive on the toll road in Pennsylvania. That's an imagination. That's craziness. That's craziness. You have to cast down the imagination that a woman has the right to kill a baby. We have to cast those down. And every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge. I feel like I'm going in circles.
Hey, coach, can I chime in here real quick?
Please do.
You know, you use the analogy, which is very good, you know, in Ecclesiastes, that there's nothing new underneath the sun. And so right. When I go back and I do the history of even Moses, when the Lord spoke to Moses and he came down out of the mountain and he went to the Israelites, the Lord told him, he said, I want you to go to the elders and take them with you and go unto Pharaoh. And when Moses came down in Exodus chapter 4 and 5, and he went to the elders and told them everything that the Lord told him, guess what the people told Moses? You go talk to Pharaoh. One man, once again. Then when you go over to Exodus chapter 19, when God was going up to, when Moses was going up to Mount Sinai, and he wanted all the people to go up there, I believe God would have written his law on the hearts of people. What did the people say? You go speak to Moses on our behalf, or God on our behalf. And so guess what? Moses, once again, he had to go. We're dealing with the same thing. There's nothing new under the sun. Everybody wants this freedom, but nobody wants to go and venture and to confront this wicked evil of our day.
They don't want to, Dale. They don't want, folks, there ain't no two ways about it. Jared, go back to 2 Corinthians there.
Amen, Dale.
Dale, you hit the nail on the head. Everybody says they want freedom. Everybody says they want this and want that. But if they really wanted it, they would do something to help obtain it. The fact they're not helping reveals the true deceit of their hearts to themselves and to others.
Casting down imagination. Yeah. It's imagination. See, they're convinced they're doing a good thing. It's a lie. They've got this concept in their mind that what they're doing is okay. And why what they're doing what everybody else does. They run their church just like everybody else runs their church. And the goal is to get a bigger church. The bigger church in the middle of hell. We want a bigger church in the middle of hell. We don't have any influence to it. We don't want to make anybody mad. And see, that's all casting down imaginations. Because verse 4 says, the weapons of our war. Why would we have weapons of warfare if we're not supposed to fight? Can somebody explain that one to me? Oh, yes, coach. You're just supposed to fight for your finances and your health. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, boys and girls, but mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. Jared, Webster, what's a stronghold, Jared? What's a stronghold? See, we read and we don't even think. We don't even read and imagine anymore. What's a stronghold? I know what it is. Do you?
Not only in the weapons of a warfare, not carnal, but Jesus also told him in Luke chapter 22, he says, if you don't have a sword, go sell your cloak and buy one.
Amen.
Go buy one.
Jared, it's hyphenated down to Bob. Stronghold. A fort, a fortified place, a place of security. We are supposed to do what? Casting down imaginations, pulling down strongholds, occupied territory by somebody else.
Hey, coach.
Go.
Coach, you just made a comment that I said it's like building a bigger church in the midst of hell. Yeah. Well, you know, if anyone's watched the movie The Titanic, we probably all have seen it or know of the story. When that ship was going down, what was the orchestra doing?
Playing the music, brother.
They started playing it louder. Well, did playing it louder and more gregarious, did that help the ship stay afloat? I don't think so.
I don't think so either, man. I don't think so.
Hey, it didn't help the Jews either when they were getting attacked by the Germans back in World War II. They church sang louder, right?
Here's what we forgot. See, it isn't about us. It's about advancing the kingdom of God. And you and I are soldiers in this battle. And folks, when we withdraw from the battlefield, we lose. And look at your public school and how little Christian influence is there. Look at it. None. No, the school occupied by children of Christians and no Christian influence at all. Now, homosexuals are in there. Why? Because they fought to get in there. Right? Evolution's in there. Why? Because they fought to get in there. Is creation in there? Oh, no, 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 no. Hey, boys and girls, that be a stronghold.
Okay.
That's a stronghold. We're supposed to be casting down those lies, those imaginations, and bring it into captivity. God's supposed to be reigning in the public schools. Don't you care?
Coach, thy kingdom come. The very first thing Jesus instructs us to ask or pray for when we're praying. God's kingdom. God's kingdom. And that's what you're talking about, is those who really understand and care about what Jesus had to say and why he came, understand it's not about us individually. It's about God's kingdom, and it's about us corporately as his body.
We don't believe it, though, Larry. We don't even believe it. Jared, pull up there into the lion's den. I got some stuff I want to share with you today. See, the Lord, hey, folks, oh, my God. What if the church corporate put time and effort and resources in to building a Christian government and Christian nation? Could we advance it? Of course we could. The enemy stole it. But see, it's easier for us rather than have to do the dirty work and see people get martyred and see people lose their stuff. Rather than being willing to fight that, it's easier for us to say, well, boys, this world's not my home. Well, then get out, dude. If it's not your home, get out.
Hey, the Muslims are so much better at being Muslims than Christians are at being Christians.
Larry, not only that, they're doing everything they are doing everything they can to advance Islam. Everything they can to advance Islam. Now, I came across this today. Jared put that right there. Into the Lion's Den, Reaching a World Gone Mad by Steve Maltz. Never read the book.
Larry, I would say the Muslims are better Muslims because there is carnal accountability here now. And there's not carnal accountability when you're a Christian violator. We don't cut people's hands off. We don't do that. We don't beat you. We don't do that. You got free will. And that's what, what's so challenging about it.
The church is supposed to be ostracizing, casting out from amongst themselves. They're supposed to be not having anything to do with those people calling themselves a church and aren't acting like it.
Yeah, it's not very Christian, Larry. That's not very Christian to act like it. Stay with me here. Into the Lion's Den, Reaching a World Gone Mad by Steve Maltz. I don't know much about it other than I got some clips from the book I want to share with you. This is chapter 8, Sinister Connections. Okay, just stay with me here a second. A few days ago, I made a discovery that shocked me so much that for a couple of days, I was actually too paralyzed to continue writing. This is a guy writing the book, Steve Maltz. This has never happened to me before. The usual scenario is to have productive days at the computer, followed by sleepless and anxious nights, mulling things over. I do that when I write. That's my lifestyle, by the way. But this time was different. Things started falling into place, and I started wondering, what on earth have I just discovered? This was different to discoveries in earlier books, such as the Greeks and the Hebraic mindset or form or function. This was the discovery of a very troubling connection. In the first chapter of the book that I mentioned earlier, and I don't know what it is because I don't have the book, Alice Bailey, the Theosophist, in her 10-point plan in 1948, to wrench society away from its Christian roots. Boys, the kings of this world conspire against the Lord. Alice Bailey in 1948 had a plan. Here was her plan. Take God and prayer out of the educational system. Reduce parental authority over the children. 1948. 3. Destroy the traditional Judeo-Christian family structure. 4. Make abortion legal and make it easy. 5. Make divorce easy and legal. Free people from the concept of marriage for life. I have a very dear person in my life. Working on a third baby. No marriage. And we think it's normal. Why? Because we don't cast down those imaginations and say that ain't normal. Stay with me. Make homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. 1948. Debase art. Make it run mad. Put urine in a jar and call it Piss Christ and hang it in galleries. I'm not swearing. It's real. Use media to promote and change the mindset. 9. Create an interfaith movement. 10. Get governments to make all these points law and get the church to endorse these changes. Now, Jared, go back up the top. And what if the church Universal Today did this. I'm sorry, Jared, go to the 10 points. What the church said did this. Put God and prayer back in the educational system. Expand parental authority over the children. Rebuild the traditional Judeo-Christian family structure. Criminalize abortion and make it impossible to get. Remove divorce and don't make it easy or legal. 6, recriminalize homosexuality and other deviant lifestyles. This is the church. What if the church had the same plan?
Amen.
Recreate godly art. 8, use media to promote and reestablish Christian values. 9, teach one way to heaven and have it be the doctrine of the nation. 10. Wow. Get the governments to make all of these points law and get the churches to endorse these things. Now, boys and girls, if the devil can come up with a plan to destroy what was built, can the church come up with a plan to repair and restore those old paths? But we don't want to. We're going to be out of here. Going to go be with the Lord soon. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the Lord.
The second thing that was up to rock that boat, Coach, the government would come in and threaten taking away their 501c3. And they would shut their mouths and be silent.
That's right, brother. Not me. Because somebody else come on in there. I kind of dominated. You know why? Listen, hang on a minute, George. You know why you're quiet? Because it's so daggone profound that you're sitting at home saying, wow.
Amen.
Go ahead.
You know, Coach, I don't want to be a dad. If what you just said happens, then wouldn't that be glorious if it happened? We all love that. And we pray for it and we work for it. But we'd be the first nation that has gone down to the depths of debauchery that America has, that would have ever happened in an empire like America. But that doesn't mean we don't stop working. We're heading back out to Thomas Edison School this morning. We had such great success yesterday reaching those young people. We're going out again to do it in spite of the fact of how debaucherous our nation is.
They're teaching homosexuality in your child's school, and you're not allowed to pray there. Folks, those be some imaginations right there. Those be some things that need to be cast down. But you know why they're not being cast down? Because we have this escapist mentality. We'll soon be out of here. Woo! I'm going to leave a great big old poop hole. When the Lord comes back, he can clean up that poop hole. I'm going to keep myself unstained from the world, and then I'm going to get out of it. Yeah, but your neighbor's kid's being lured into homosexuality. Oh, well. Maybe he'll find Jesus. We've lost our minds. Jared seems to have something up there that he wants us to see.
To make God bleed, then people will cease to believe in him. And there will be blood in the water, and the sharks will come.
If you can make God bleed, wow, huh?
Well, Dave, I wanted to add an 11 in there.
All right.
I want we need to start our brigades wherever we are. You are the beginning of the brigade, wherever you're listening to this. You are the resistance. So get going with the brigade. If it gets you all together, get some people together, and where two or more are gathered, and God will be there. And push the Lord on some of this stuff. Amen.
Listen, I don't want to say it right now because I don't want to know it. Somebody remind me when we're off the show, to all of you that are in the queue, I'm going to unveil to you a secret that I believe the Lord has given. And Chad, you know what you just said is so profound, because fellas, we say this all the time. We're the church. We're the church. As Obama said, we're the ones the Lord's been waiting on. We're it. Not that brick and mortar place down. Not that place. We're it. Well, if we're it, then we're the ones that are supposed to be casting down imaginations. Right? Yeah. Yes or no? Bringing into captivity. Isn't that what that said, Jared? Pull that up there again. I think it's 2 Corinthians 10, isn't it? Imagine it's us. Jared, let's start at verse 1. Let's get the flow of this. Now, I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. See, meekness and gentleness. There we go. Paul's talking about the meekness and gentleness of Christ and then ends up in jail over and over and over. Meek means controlled power. And I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hang on a second there, man. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Homosexuality is against the knowledge of God. Abortion is against the knowledge of God. Ungodly government is against the knowledge of God. And we are to bring into captivity every thought about that to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience. Go ahead, Matt.
This will take a couple minutes, but I just, in listening to you here this morning, Dave, I think, you know, you get a very good point. Is what we're missing in this nation, and, you know, I've mentioned it to you a couple of times, is about us loving God. The letter that you read was written by this person in about what happened in 1948, right?
Yep.
In 1947 is when Billy Graham started preaching that God loves everybody unconditionally. He'd stand at the pulpit and he'd point to three people and he'd say, God loves you, God loves you. Well, Satan seized on that moment and he said, you know what? If that's what we're going to have people preaching, I'm going to take advantage of it. Because what he did was, over the years, got people to the point where they became lackadaisical and they became immune to the fact that they needed to do something to please God. Every preacher was preaching, God loves everybody, you don't need to do anything. Life is great. Do whatever you want. The Billy Grahams of the world didn't protest a whole lot when they took prayer out of school. They didn't protest a whole lot when they legalized abortion. They didn't protest for a lot of things because God loves everybody unconditionally. The homosexual movement was pretty well fine with most of these people because we want to be inclusive. The problem is we don't practice what Jesus Christ told us to do. He gave us one main assignment in our life, one main assignment, and that's in Matthew 28:20, if we're to believe this, when he says, go forth and teaching everyone to observe, which means to practice. If you look up that word observe, we got to be a little bit smarter and not just watch paint peel, but we've got to actually practice what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord. We're supposed to be practicing repenting. We're supposed to be practicing the first and greatest commandment, loving God. We're supposed to be practicing what it says in Deuteronomy. We're supposed to be practicing talking about Jesus diligently to our children every day. We're supposed to be thinking about God and talking about God when we wake up, when we lie down. Everything that we do, that's the way we begin to love God. And until we start doing that, until we get the church turned around, because like I said the other week to you, Dave, I think the church is guilty of malpractice.
Well, first of all,
and
Matt,
they ought to be sued for it.
Matt, listen again. We're not going to get the church turned around. That thing that we're calling the church ain't the church. It isn't the church.
That's right. That's where we've got to start and preach the message. And hopefully here soon, the book that I'm writing that lays all this out will be done. And I'll be doing my little bitty part or whatever to help people understand this entire process. But the program is in the scripture. And when we finally figure out and understand, and you know, if we can, if like I said before, if we can embarrass the church to start and do what they should be doing, that's all we're going to, you know, the preachers and the pastors in the church, it's really not their fault. They've just been passed down something year after year, generation after generation, and they are not really, as far as I'm concerned anyway, God's laid it on me to say that it's not the pastor and the priest and everybody else's fault. They're just doing what they've been told generations before. They have not really taken a look at Matthew 28:20, and they really don't understand the real importance of loving God. If they did, they would be talking about it every Sunday.
Matt, got to run. Good point, man. Got to run real quickly.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Matt. So listen, see, Chad nailed it. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you doing anything at all to, I don't, lack of a better word, build a brigade where you are? Are you doing anything at all? Do you come in here every day and watch this show and still have nobody around you? Do you understand? What we call the church isn't the church? Do you guys have you understood this yet? And when Matt said they had to awaken the church, do you understand that's not the church? That's not the church.
You know,
I'm awake. I'm the church. I'm awake.
It may not be a silver bullet, but one of the biggest favors a person can do to themselves in order to get their thinking straight on this whole subject is to start by saying grace has been misdefined by the Bible dictionaries. Grace is not God's unmerited favor. Every time you hear about grace being applied or read about it in the Bible, there was a reason that person merited the grace that God bestowed upon them.
So what is the Lord gracing you to do? Now, I'm going to tell you something. It might cost you your life, but you get to go be with the Lord. Isn't that what everybody wants to do? Isn't that what everybody talks about? Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the Lord. Well, here's the problem. People want to go to heaven without dying. People want to go to heaven without having paid any price. We've become convinced that Christianity is so cheap that you don't have to pay any price. Christ paid it all. You don't have to pay anything, brother. Yeah, I know it's bad out there, but just hang on. We're soon going to go see the Lord. What a selfish, backward way of thinking.
Hey, Coach.
Go.
Coach, I can say this. I don't know 100% what's going to happen if we all do our best for the Lord, but I can tell you 100% what will happen if we don't. We as a nation will soon go into bondage, captivity, and we will live the rest of our lives as Christians under bondage.
Over my dead body!
Amen. Me too, Coach, but that's the reality. If people don't wake up and they don't do it, you look at the nations before us, I don't know why we're any different.
Yep.
Hey, down there where we've been in the woods all weekend with the homeless, we went down last night, had 7 come out and sit down and crack open the Bible with us in the chairs at the edge of the woods. A couple things that are going on. We've had 3 or 4 of them get out into apartments. They're going to go back and get jobs and be good citizens. Now they're gone, but we've led one to the Lord. We've had some good things happening down there. But the health department hung that box on the tree to put their needles in. And we told them, you're not going to put the needles in your arms. Forget about that box. Now you know how they're doing. Now their next step is, well, maybe we'll do a needle exchange because nobody's putting the needles in the box. Now they want to go down and exchange them. And I'm addressing, we got 7 supposedly pastors in this town riding with the cops in the cruiser, 1 shift per day. And I'm asking these Christians when they asked me about this, I said, well, why don't they come into the woods? It's safe to ride in the back of the cruiser where you got 2 cops protecting you. But that's what they're doing and making it look like they're doing something. But the 7 pastors won't come into the woods where it's really evil.
We're out of time. Good work, Jeff. In the meantime, they're teaching the kids in the public schools they can be homos. Homos, we're fighting on the wrong end. We're fighting on the wrong end. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.